In this reflection, we will begin to consider how we use our bodies in prayer. Jesus says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." And he means your bodily strength. We are embodied creatures made in the image of God. Salvation is not a matter exclusively of what happens in our minds. We are saved in our bodies. So our bodies must be fully engaged in prayer, together with our hearts, our souls, and our minds. We can learn a lot about the postures and gestures of prayer from the public corporate worship of the church. But first we have to think about how personal prayer and worship are related. When we attend Sunday services, our primary purpose is not to do our personal prayer, although we should make the prayer of the church our prayer in a personal way, and we can learn a lot from careful observation. The Sunday Divine Liturgy is a celebration of the victory our King has won for us over sin and death. The merciful King, whom we love and would not think of offending, commands us all to attend the banquet. The celebration is public prayer, and we participate as best we can, according to the role assigned to us. When we can, we join our personal prayers to the common prayer in a way that enhances both. There are three mistakes to avoid. First is the idea that if I do not find the service meaningful, there is no point in attending. To repeat, we do not attend services, especially the Sunday liturgy, to do our personal prayers or to get something for our personal spiritual benefit or to feel close to God, although these things do happen in the normal course of events. The second mistake is to participate in a way that prioritizes my personal piety over the corporate worship of the church. This is the point behind St. Paul's precautions over speaking in tongues at services. He says he does this more than anyone, but what happens at the assembled church must be dignified and edifying. All things should be done decently and in order. When in Rome, as they say, we do as the Romans do. We avoid distracting others. We are not there to get something for ourselves and head out the door. The third mistake is to think that liturgical services can be a substitute for private, individual prayer to God in Christ. We must, as Jesus says, go into our closet, close the door, and stand before God face to face. Without this sort of personal prayer, we can just go through the motions of public worship, no matter how much we appreciate the smells, the bells, the beauty of the icons, the music, the pageantry, the preaching, and being with our friends. Ideally, these beautiful things will draw us closer to God in our private, personal prayer. All of these mistakes arise when we confuse private prayer and public worship. Even so, we can learn about personal prayer by observing the postures and gestures we can see at liturgical services. In the next reflection, we will look at the following aspects of personal prayer: the sign of the cross, standing to pray, lifting up the hands, bows and prostrations, kneeling, and the voice.